Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and as you guys know, last time we were on the air, we said that we wouldn't be back for a couple weeks because we'd be back after the New Japan show, Wrestle Kingdom 9, after listening to Jim Ross, and then we got a unique opportunity presented to us. And Scott D'Amore, who is the, see if I get this right here again, you're the Vice President of International for Global Force Wrestling?
Yep, that's what they tell me.
All right. Scott D'Amore, and of course, he's well-known for his booking in TNA as well. And he contacted us and asked if we'd like to talk to the Wrestle Kingdom show. And we figured since we're actually just a couple guys who do a comedy show who talk about wrestling, pretend we know about it, you guys might actually like listening to somebody who actually knows something about wrestling for once. So it's good to have Scott on.
Welcome, Scott.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right, great. Well, if you don't mind, we'd like to just open up and let's run down the Wrestle Kingdom show. Now, I know that you guys have there's this 30-minute kind of countdown special style show. It's on YouTube. And I think probably put together by Kevin Sullivan, not that Kevin Sullivan, but Kevin Sullivan. And it's great. It features a lot of Jim Ross, a lot of the Bullet Club. What kind of buzz are you guys kind of starting to feel for the build for the show?
You know, it's really kind of great and kind of exciting. The chatter that's out there and the buzz that's been generated, you know, it's kind of a unique situation. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever went out there and looked to promote an event of this size and caliber in North America without having a domestic, you know, television show in place as the central promotional point for it. And, you know, it's kind of a testament to the day that we live in with digital technology and social media. I mean, we've really just, tried to get out there in as many ways as possible and get out there to wrestling fans, you know, both people that currently watch the product and some people that used to watch the product, but along the line have somehow, you know, fallen to the side and either got disenchanted or just life gets in the way sometimes and you know, you just don't have the time to follow. And, you know, we've been trying to put out content there, get out to people, show them this product that some people know about and have seen and know how great it is and others haven't. And, you know, that's kind of been our goal, is to be in people's face. I mean, I think when it's all said and done, I don't think there's anyone who's going to say that, you know, GFW, I wish they would have put out, you know, more promo material. You know, we've done long stories explaining, you know, the storylines, the characters, the way things work in New Japan. We've done a ton of videos and interviews and everything with different people involved, just trying to, trying to bring people up to speed on what's going on, who's who, and give them a taste of why I think if you're a wrestling fan, why we think if you're a wrestling fan, you should be watching January 4th when Wrestle Kingdom 9 gets shown stateside.
Yeah, and then live on pay-per-view here in Calgary on Shaw as well. So
Live on pay-per-view, and it's also available, I believe, on the Flips TV app. If you're outside of North America and you want to hear Jim Ross call it, because it will be on New Japan World. But, I mean, everybody wants to hear Jim Ross. I think that's a huge coup, obviously, getting Jim Ross. And there is talk that perhaps he won't be calling another show after this. I mean, we hope that's not the case. But, you know, this is I think he's going to – I think as much as anything, he may be as much of a draw as anything that you put in the ring.
Well, certainly. I mean, I've been asked a bunch of times, I mean, what does having Jim Ross bring to this event? Well, I mean, obviously, other than his amazing talents, which are legendary, to me, the biggest thing that having Jim Ross sign on did was it brought legitimacy. because, you know, Global Force Wrestling is just in its infancy. It, you know, it doesn't have a television show yet, and it hasn't ran an event. So, I mean, it's in its infancy. New Japan Pro Wrestling, while it's been around since 1972, to a lot of North American fans, isn't overly well known. But if you're a wrestling fan in North America, you know, hell, probably the world, then you know who Jim Ross is. So you know that if Jim Ross decided that he's going to come out of, you know, we'll call it quote-unquote retirement to call this event, you know that this is big, and you know that it's going to be a fantastic event because, you know, it's not like Jim Ross is coming out and doing this event because he needs to. You know, it's not like there's a financial need, or it's not like he needs to come out because he's, you know, he's got anything left to prove in the sense, I mean, this guy's the greatest announcer of all time, bar none. He chose this event because this event excites him. This product excites him. So I think having Jim Ross come and call this event and being excited to do it, and you can see by the amount of material Jim Ross has put out and the amount of work he's done promoting this event with us, he's excited for it. And he sees it as a product that's important, and he sees it as a product that's world class. And having him, you know, sit there ringside in Tokyo, that's a huge deal for us, and I think that's a massive win for us as a company, for wrestling fans, and for the business as a whole. Because when you got a legend like that coming back and doing something, it creates buzz, you know. And you know, you said that he's as big a deal as anything we put in the ring, and absolutely, I think he's a big reason why there's been a buzz that's really built in North America for this event, because his legitimacy, his brand being a part of this, you know, him flying 20 plus hours to Tokyo to sit there ringside and call this, that tells you that that this is going to be a monumental event.
Yeah, on his birthday too, I believe he's missing his birthday to do it, so that's how dedicated he is. I work for a cable service provider, and I can tell you when Jim Ross's name was announced as being on it, people were excited within the company I work for that, okay, they got Jim Ross, you know, and we're, you know, they're already carrying the event, but it was definitely seen as good news for the company I work for as well.
Yeah, I mean, and people in the industry, in the television industry, know him, and I mean, I'd have to say, I mean, we worked really hard on clearing this pay-per-view, and we've pretty much cleared it in every major cable or satellite provider in Canada and the U.S., which is a massive achievement. Actually, this pay-per-view will be available in more homes than any wrestling pay-per-view in history. And, you know, that can be attested, you know, I think in part to having Jim Ross involved because of that legitimacy he brings. I mean, he's, you know, look, you listen to the soundtrack of the last 25, 30 years of great wrestling moments in your mind, you know, you visualize the pictures, you see the pictures, and then that soundtrack is more often than not Jim Ross's voice.
Yeah.
So he's a huge win, and he's a reason why there's been such a buzz. Like I said, he's gone out there and done, you know, like so many media interviews. He's shot videos and, you know, sent that to us. So like we said, like you mentioned, Kevin Sullivan, who's at an amazing producer and editor, and he's been putting out those videos. And you know, the cable and satellite systems have been great. They've hopped on board. I think that they're ready for something new. I think with the direction that WWE's been going, that there's a bit of a void in pay-per-view right now.
A bit.
So this one. Yeah, you know, it's amazing. It wasn't that long ago where you had WWE and TNA both putting out, you know, two pay-per-views a month, plus maybe something else here and there on the side besides that. And now you got WWE focusing everything on the network and TNA only doing, you know, a couple of pay-per-views a year. So there's definitely a void there. And you know, GFW and bringing Wrestle Kingdom 9 to North America, we're hoping this is the start of filling that void.
You know, what I appreciate about GFW and what I see from you guys is that you don't seem to be, it doesn't seem to, I mean, obviously you want to be financially successful, but it seems to be almost more like you want to give back. You want to give back to the fans, to the wrestlers, to the community, there seems to be a almost like a larger picture.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a business. So obviously, you know, there is dollars and cents, you know, to it, hopefully. But, Yeah, there is, you know, look, Jeff Jarrett walked away from TNA. He resigned, you know, right about a year ago. And, you know, an easy decision for him would have been to stay there. He was the founder. He was kind of grandfathered in, and he could have sat there and wrote it out probably for as many years as he wanted. But he's a passionate, individual. And he's an individual that loves wrestling. He grew up, you know, in the wrestling business from, you know, Eddie Marlin and from his grandmother, you know, through his father. I mean, he's literally grown up in the wrestling business, loves the wrestling business, and wants to see the wrestling business get back to putting out a product that a broad platform of people can enjoy. And, you know, the idea for Global Force Wrestling is that, you know, in this digital age now, there's a need to be interactive. And I think there needs to be a more fan-friendly promotion. The fans are saying what they want out there, and somebody's gotta listen to that. And yeah. That's one of our hopes for Global Force Wrestling. And, you know, part of living in this digital age is the fact that, you know, you can't ignore everything in the world anymore. It's not like in the old days where, you know, if you were promoting wrestling in, you know, and I'm right next to Detroit, Michigan. If you're promoting wrestling in Detroit, you know, the Sheik didn't have to acknowledge anything that happened, you know, in Indianapolis or down in Tennessee, because it didn't exist in his part of the world. Yeah. You can't do that anymore because everything's at your fingertips. The world's gotten a whole lot smaller when it comes to information, you know, and just living in this digital age. If it happens somewhere in the world, people are going to know about it. If it happens somewhere in the world, people should know about it. And that's part of the atmosphere of inclusion that GWF's hoping to have is, you know, we want to have a professional and relationship with other wrestling organizations. We want to be interactive. You've seen the partnerships that have been signed, you know, somewhere along the line in the wrestling business, it got to the point where it was decided if you're competition, you have to be adversarial. And that wasn't always historically the case. There was years and years where different wrestling promotions were able to work together on a certain level, even though on a certain different level, you're always going to be somewhat competing for each other. But there is ways to work together for your mutual benefit and for the benefit of wrestling fans. And that's what signing these partnership agreements and, you know, being associated with New Japan Pro Wrestling and AAA and many other companies out there is what we're hoping to do. Is we want to have an atmosphere of inclusion, not exclusion. You know, if there's something we can do to help, you know, a promotional partner of ours, we want to do it. And in return, we're hoping when there's something that they can do to help us, they'll do it. And it's, you know, we're just starting to crawl now. I mean, it's crawl, walk, run. And we're just getting out of the crawl phase and getting into the walk phase. And it's a huge undertaking for us to take on, you know, distributing and promoting Wrestle Kingdom Live, you know, to the North American audience. And it's been a great experience. It's been a learning experience. The response has been overwhelmingly positive. And, you know, we're excited for 2015, January 4th, obviously a huge day. And then beyond that, following up to it and you know, starting to really lay the groundwork for a great year.
And now in terms of that groundwork, the first thought, and I had thought when you announced Wrestle Kingdom 9 and sort of the international scope of things, do you have any plans in terms of something like a Triple Mania to look that way if this Wrestle Kingdom is successful? I know Jarrett's been down in Triple A for quite a while.
You know, it's definitely a possibility. AAA is a mega, mega event in Mexico. It features some great talent. It features a different style of wrestling. And, you know, we've talked about it. I mean, we haven't delved right into it, but it's another product that's world-class and needs to be exposed. I mean, to, you know, a North American audience. Well, I should say can in the U.S. since they're, you know, Mexican-based, but to an English-speaking North American audience, and that's definitely something you want to do. That's one of the reasons why we have a relationship and a partnership with AAA. I mean, we in 2015, we want to continue to bring you know, the New Japan product to Canada and the U.S. We want to continue to bring, you know, great wrestling. We want to like basically build the blocks. If it's happening in Europe, we want to be able to show something that's noteworthy. We want to be able to show something that happens in South Africa that's noteworthy. We want to be able to show stuff in Mexico, show stuff in Japan. You know, and then also 2015, I'm pretty comfortable in saying, is the year where you'll see a flagship program of GFW's debut that'll feature its own content, obviously, but also still not ignoring what's going on around the world. But, I mean, I guess to answer your question specifically after walking around the block to get to it, you know, definitely I could see Triple Mania being a pay-per-view in Canada and the U.S. because it's a quality event, and getting it out there to people to sample and try would be a great thing.
Yeah. Now, the other man in the announce booth beside Jim Ross is Matt Stryker, and I enjoy Matt Stryker's work. I enjoyed it in WWE, and I enjoy it also in Lucha Underground. There does seem to be a little bit of criticism out there, though, that people feel that Jim Ross could have used somebody who's just so familiar with the New Japan product that he could reference, you know, matches from the past and moments from the past and help Jim Ross, because as much hard work as he's doing, he's doing a crash course to try and learn the product. So what are kind of your response to that? What do you think of Matt Stryker in there?
I think Matt's a tremendous talent as an announcer. I think Matt brings a great passion for the wrestling business with him. You know, Matt was a wrestler. Matt segued into being a very successful announcer. I think he's proven that he's very skilled as a color commentator. You know, and is actually very versatile in general as an announcer. And I think it's actually almost unfair for people to assume that Matt doesn't have a depth of knowledge on New Japan, because Matt is a wrestling fan. Matt is a New Japan fan. He knows the players in New Japan. I mean, I first worked professionally with Matt earlier this year in May when we brought in some of the New Japan Pro Wrestling talent to a Border City Wrestling show here in Windsor, because I needed an announcer specifically who was familiar with New Japan's talent. So, you know, that's the first time that I ever worked with Matt, and he came amazingly well prepared. He approached it, even though it was just a small independent event. You know, it's not like he was ever going to be seen worldwide. He was going to be seen locally here on TV and through a limited, you know, DVD release. But he approached the event like he was approaching a Monday Night Raw or a major pay-per-view. So that, to me, showed a couple things. Showed me what he, you know, his passion and his professionalism towards this business. And then it also showed me, I never realized the understanding of the product he had. Is there other people that could sit at the, you know, table side with Jim Ross and do a great job and provide some insight? Absolutely. And I'm sure there's people that would, you know, probably do everything short of commit homicide to to get that opportunity. But I
including
don't
homicide?
homicide would definitely, you know, commit homicide to, you know, to do the event. So, but you know, there was a few good options out there. There really was, and you know, we came down to it, and you know, the decision was made that Matt was going to be the go to guy. And I think, you know, honestly, on January 4th, when people listen, they're going to appreciate his depth of knowledge. They're going to appreciate his passion. And they're going to realize that, look, this isn't a guy who came out of broadcasting school and went to WWE, you know, the WWE, and, you know, started doing event centers and worked his way up. This is a guy who, you know, came up through the wrestling business, through the independents. I mean, he grew up loving wrestling. Yeah. He grew up watching New Japan. He continued to follow it as a pro. And I mean, I think he's going to do a fantastic job, and I think he's going to be the perfect partner you know, he's going to add to the event on a level as far as for providing some of that depth of who the characters are and their history.
All right, I look forward to him proving everybody wrong.
Yeah. And, and I should say as well, as I said, we've been great.
Sorry, guys. I mean, I guess let me ask you, who would you want to see sitting at the table? I mean, out of curiosity.
Well, I don't know who was on there as your possibility. I mean, Josh Barnett, I think, would have been great, but I don't believe he would have been available. I think he's working for the other company right now, and obviously with UFC. Right. I mean, I think if I had had my choice, I think he would have been the number one guy, personally. But okay. But again, that's not – I enjoy Matt Stryker. I enjoy his work. I like him in Lucha Underground. I've listened to interviews with him where he talks about things and he references things in the past, and I think he's a lot more clever than people give him credit for. And I think, it's so difficult. I mean, the vast majority of what people have seen him succeed and fail at is in the WWE, where you have a guy in his ear screaming all the time. And it's not really his true personality, you know? And, I mean, when he first started with the WWE, people were raving about him. And then his kind of like his shtick almost changed. And it's almost more like he was being overproduced. And I felt like it wasn't him anymore. So, I mean, this is a chance to see what he can do.
Yeah, no, I agree. And sorry to interrupt there. I'm just out of curiosity because, I mean, we looked at some different options. And there's somebody that...
Dave Meltzer would have been a really nice... Dave Meltzer also, I think, would have been a very interesting choice. Another one who obviously knows the product very, very well. I'm not sure how good he would be as an announcer because I haven't heard it, but I never did read. I never got a chance to watch those Russell Gold DVDs that came out with him and Cornette, though I would love to. But so I don't know how good he is.
Yeah, I've seen Dave do like studio wraparounds where he intros matches and stuff, and he's very good at that. And, you know, there probably isn't anyone who's a bigger cheerleader for the New Japan product currently. And, you know, there probably isn't anyone who has more of a depth of knowledge than Dave. So he may well have been a good choice, but I don't know what his, how much actual live play-by-play experience he has. And, I guess who knows? Maybe we'll get to learn something about that as far as for his skills from that down the road here or somewhere else. And I'm kind of with you. I'd be interested to see how he does that. It's a whole different animal to sit out there live and call it. But Dave definitely has a depth of knowledge.
And I would really enjoy. We talk about again. I hate to keep referencing Triple Mania, but if that happens later down the year, I mean, you've got Jim Ross, and by then TNA will be out of business, so you can put Mike Tenay in there.
Come on, guys. TNA just signed a new television deal. They should be around for quite a while to come.
Billion years, I think.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of people are going to enjoy that product.
I'll tell you this. I mean, when I started in TNA, people were telling me, don't bother going there. They're going out of business any day.
Yeah.
So, and that was 11 to 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So don't count them out, and let's hope that their move to Destination America is a positive one, and that they find their way in 2015 and put out a product that connects with fans and find a way to succeed and thrive. So, I mean, honestly, that's my hope for them. I mean, I never hope for somebody to go out of business, because I think, the more options and the more different products that are out there, I think that's better for the industry. I think it's better for the fans.
Well, I think that's a great segue because, you talked 10, 12 years ago when people said, TNA were going to go out of business. Credit where credit is due. I think you're one of the main reasons that TNA didn't go out of business when we were watching back, but when they went off and they were dark and only available, the Sunshine Network and then online is where I was watching it on their website, and you were booking guys like Samoa Joe to be turned into this monster, and I remember the one pay-per-view that had Sabu and Abyss in a barbed wire match, and had that three-way cruiserweight or X Division match. And
X Division title actually was important, something that that it kind of lost its way for. Yeah, I mean, but let's get there again. It is a segue, but we'll probably get back to that in a little bit. Let's run down the card. Because that's we're here for New Japan for the Wrestle Kingdom 9. Now the opening match is a Royal Rumble type match that's dark, probably available, I'm guessing, on New Japan World. Do you have the WWE Network yourself?
I don't. I don't think it's actually available yet here in Windsor. Mm. you know, I'm sure I know a couple of people have it by unscrupulous means.
Like
shall
me?
We say?
That would be me.
You know, and I probably should because I mean, I saw it at a friend's house and it had some tremendous content on there, you know, and I probably do need to get it, you know, and maybe that should be one of my resolutions for 2015 is to.
There's some interesting programs, you know. There's some interesting, the Legends House and, you know, the countdown shows, and some of these shows are good, and the pay-per-views, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, it hasn't been as successful as they'd like. Then there's the New Japan World, which, like I say, I'm guessing this dark match will be available on. Do you have that?
I don't have New Japan World, no.
No, okay. Okay.
Did you guys pick it up? Because I heard it's really hard to navigate right now.
I got it first day, and they have recently. It was really hard to navigate at first. They've improved it over the last little bit. They added a translation button at the bottom to English, and that helps quite a bit. It took me a while to like at first I was having a lot of trouble. I just wanted to watch the G1 tournament, you know, from this last year, and then I was able to. Now I can get it pretty easily. Addy, what's your favorite show?
They do have some original programming, like Regent's House.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, but Regent's House. I don't know if that's actually on the show.
Oh no, I don't have the New Japan World myself because I just I found that it was difficult to get myself, but.
Well, again, what you kind of have here is, as Addy the Dick, he's really a hardcore WWE fan, and I'm Mo the Fat One. I'm really more your hardcore wrestling fan. So we'll run down the card here, and like I say, I'm probably a little more familiar with it than Addy.
And that's why I love that 30-minute countdown show that you guys put on, because I really am this. I'm the target audience for this. I'm a huge wrestling fan, but I haven't seen hardly any, you know, New Japan stuff, and I was just blown away by the production value and you know, the stage and just even some of the paint and the costume and the robing of all these guys. And I've seen, you know, obviously when we talk about Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly and the Young Bucks and, you know, Alex Shelley and you know, when they go up and down the card, I've heard some of these names, but the countdown special itself really made me excited for January 4th and gave me a really good kind of a backstory behind a lot of the main stuff going on.
And I think that's a key point, actually, is that if say you're a casual fan who's ordered a ROH show before, and you go, okay, ROH has great action, but the production values are maybe a little lacking. That isn't the case here. That isn't what you're going to see in New Japan. The production values are at the highest level. The videos and the music and the crowd and the lighting and all that stuff is as good as anything you're going to see in WWE, a different approach, but as good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Their production values are world class, and there's, you know, there's certainly one of the things that I find interesting is there's still, you know, in some people's mind, there's a belief when they hear Japanese wrestling, they still think it's, you know, it's two guys in black trunks and no knee pads, you know, just pounding the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
Well, that does happen. It's so far from that happens sometimes, but you know, it's so far from the truth in the sense that the pageantry of New Japan is so large. It's one of the things that can really draw you. I mean, their entrances are as good as any entrances, you know, you'll ever see in the wrestling business. When you watch Wrestle Kingdom 9, I mean, you'll see, right? They really go above and beyond with the pageantry and the production values here to really make it a memorable entertainment event, whether it's the Time Splitters driving a DeLorean from Back to the Future into the Tokyo Dome onto the stage, or whether it's, you know, it's Shinsuke Nakamura with the you know, the oogles and oogles of stage dancers, you know, and putting on that, or whether it's last year was the Great Muta doing more of a traditional Japanese style entrance or performance there with the dragon and everything else. I mean, they really do go above and beyond on that. I think that's one of the things that's really going to shock some people when they get a chance to check this product out. So,
yeah. So as I say, the opening match is the Royal Rumble type match. Yushin Thunder Liger is in that, probably the biggest name. Then we're going to get to the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship. You have ROH World Tag Team Champions, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, Red Dragon, are also the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions. Alex Shelley and Kushida, the Time Splitters, you mentioned them earlier, the Forever Hooligans, and Alex Kozlov and Rocky Romero, and Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks, who were not just my tag team of the year, my wrestler of the year, because they just are. If I was going to pay money to watch one act in wrestling this last year, it would have been them. This should be. I mean, the only question I have is, you're putting this on first, or this? I guess you guys aren't putting this on first, but this is going on first. How does anybody follow this?
You know what? There was a similar IWGP Junior Tag Match last year. That went on very, very early in the show, and it was actually my thought process watching it. I mean, two things. One, it was actually watching the IWGP Junior Tag Match this past January 4th, where I sat there and thought, wow, like this product needs to be brought to North America. Yeah. That was really the genesis of it, is sitting there in the Tokyo Dome as a guest, and I stopped being, an individual in the wrestling business and just became a wrestling fan sitting there and watching it. And I think this year's match is going to be even better. And I think one of the things that New Japan does is features so many different styles. So is anybody going to be able to have a match that is on the level, the IWGP Junior Tag when it comes to quick movement and action and that junior heavyweight style? I don't think so. I don't think anybody could. I mean, you've got four of the world's best tag teams in the ring out there in front of, 40 to 50,000 people. I mean, it's going to be outstanding, and I think it's going to be something that may well steal the show.
And I'm just excited a company has four different tag teams.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one of the things, right, is you've got two strong tag team divisions. You have the strong junior heavyweight tag team division and strong, heavyweight tag team division. And that's definitely different than how things have been on in American wrestling, North American wrestling, and I'm very confident that that match won't be outshined, but I'm also very confident that there'll be, with a change of pace and the different styles as you run through the card, you'll see that there's a lot of uniqueness. And all different matches bring different things to the table. And this is my pick for match of the night. But I mean, I think you could honestly pick just about any match on this card for match of the night, and you got a decent shot at being ranked.
Yeah. Speaking of change of pace, your next match is going to feature, and I'm going to try and do the names as best I can. It's basically, I'm going to say it right now. You can correct me if you know I'm doing one wrong.
It's pronounced Jarrett.
That's JARRET.
So Hiroshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and Hanma. We'll just say, because I'm not going to try that first name. And it's the Bullet Club. You got Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro Takahashi. I'm probably saying it wrong again, unfortunately. Takahashi. And JEFF. JARRET. Jeff Jarrett, and I'm guessing there may be a certain fellow we're on the phone with who may come out during that match as well.
There's a decent chance that I'll wander out to ringside just to check things out and make sure that everything's on the up and up and nobody tries anything underhanded.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Make sure the turnbuckles are tight.
this match is a great follow-up to the opener. For fans that are familiar with New Japan history, they'll understand it. For ones that aren't, Tenzan and Kojima are two very big stars, from New Japan. They've both been IWGP heavyweight champions. Kojima is actually the first man ever to hold the IWGP heavyweight title while at the same time holding All Japan's Triple Crown Championship, which is their major championship. So these guys are legendary status in Japan, even though they're still very active. I mean, these guys have, it was just 4 years ago that Kojima was in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. you know, so you've got a pretty stacked, you know, second match on the card.
Yeah.
When you look at it, because one, you know, you got the in the opener, you've got the Young Bucks who are part of Bullet Club, but that match isn't about, you know, Bullet Club. That match is, you know, is about the high flying, you know, junior heavyweight style. This match, you've got the Bullet Club coming out as a faction. You've got Yujiro, who always comes to the ring with a beautiful lady. You've got Bad Luck Fale, who earlier this year, you know, I think it was defeated Shinsuke Nakamura for the IWGP Intercontinental title. So he's a main eventer. You know, and you've got Jeff himself, you know, an international star coming here and making his first in-ring debut with New Japan since we formed this partnership. You know, so you've got this, both sides are filled with great. And I mean, not to discount Homer either, because if you watched the G1 this past year, I'm sure you saw the reactions that he was getting in those matches in the G1. He wasn't even supposed to be in the G1. He got in as a late addition because of an injury, and he became like this cult hero, this fan favorite where the crowds just rallied behind him. You know, because Homer's been around for you know, years. He's bounced around. He's a guy who was doing, you know, matches with broken light bulbs and barbed wire and everything else. He's done it. He's done it from wrestling in front of 100 people to wrestling in front of, you know, tens of thousands of people. And the crowd is really taken to him. So you've got him and you've got two of New Japan's all-time legends in there, and they're going off against the Bullet Club. So I think it's gonna be a perfect follow-up. I mean, is it gonna have the fast-moving action of the opener? Absolutely not. But it's a perfect follow-up to it. It's got a lot of star power, you know, both for the U.S. I mean, Tenzan was in WCW, although he got used as if he was Mexican. And,
is it?
You know, and I don't mean that in a racial way, but I mean that in a sense. Remember how bad WCW was with taking great Mexican wrestlers and making them look like nothing.
Oh yeah.
You know,
it's not like the WWE right now is going to take Adrian Neville, Pac, and put a mask on him and call him up to the main roster with a gimmick that's inspired by Mighty Mouse or anything. Oh wait, yes it is. That's, if you hadn't heard, that's what they got planned.
Well, I was a big fan of Mighty Mouse, so I mean, maybe they'll pull it off. I don't know.
Yeah, Adrian Neville's ears are too big to play Mighty Mouse, I think, though.
Hanma, I can't wait. Actually, Hanma's his look out for his headbutt spot. That's what you want to be on the lookout for from him. He had a great match with Ishii at the G1 Climax. Moving on, because we got a lot to get to. You got a very interesting match here. Another guy I can't wait for Addy to see is Toru Yano, because he's just very different. I can't describe him any other way. And then you got some people coming over from NOAH. And that's Mirafuji, big fan of Naomichi Mirafuji. I'm hoping to say it right again. He's a great storyteller. And then a tag team that's perhaps the best tag team in Japan, Mikey Nichols and Shane Hayes. And the other side, you have Suzuki Gun, the heel group team of Suzuki Gun, with Takashi Izuku, Lance Archer, Shelton X Benjamin. They've added an X to him.
Oh.
They branded him themselves.
I see.
And a fellow that we may know here from in Calgary, Davey Boy Smith Jr. It's great to see. I love just seeing how Harry has really found a way to connect to the audience since he's gotten to Japan. His ability to play to the crowd and understand how to connect to them, and his charisma has really come out. And he's even thicker and bigger, and he just looks so much like his dad, but taller. But I just think he does an awesome job over there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, match again, you know, a multi-guy match. It's going to feature some big bodies. You're going to be some high-impact stuff. You know, you're featuring, you know, a real international flavor here. In the sense, you have Harry, who's Canadian. You've got the Australian boys. I mean, it's, you know, you got Sheldon Benjamin and Archer. I mean, it's, you know, it's a match. It's going to, you know, you're going to see some great wrestling, probably see a little bit of brawling, and you're going to see some big booms. You know, I mean, Archer and Smith, you know, do some great double teams, and I think you'll see a solid match out of this group. I mean, I think it's perfectly positioned on the card.
And I hope seeing Smith and Archer, the Killer Elite Squad, against Haste and Nichols down the road in a tag team match 2-on-2. Suzuki and Sakuraba. So Minoru Suzuki, speaking of Suzuki Gun, the leader of that heel faction, and himself a former mixed martial artist, against the Gracie Killer, the legendary Kazushi Sakuraba. Thank you. This is a match. I understand there's no pinfalls in this match. This is submission and knockout only.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there was a group that made a lot of waves, and people may have heard of it. You know, the UWFI.
Yeah.
It's actually when the UWFI did its invasion in New Japan. That's the always talked about night that that Eric Bischoff was actually in Japan, and you know, kind of saw that, and that was where the NWO came from. UWFI was a shoot fighting promotion, a work shoot promotion. They did a very serious style with no pinfalls, submissions, and knockouts. So it's a little bit of throwback to history. Plus, I mean, you know, if you're going to do that style of match, you've got Suzuki, who is, you know, one of the founding fathers and one of the original legends of Pancrase, you know, the same company that produced Ken Shamrock. That was a shoot company, you know, in the 90s. And then is there a bigger MMA star in Japan than Sakuraba? And the massive beatings that he took, and then always somehow, you know, finding a way to come back and win matches. So this style, you know, you're not going to see any high spots. You're not going to see any high flying. It's going to be a very serious, you know, match. You know, you've got a Pancration legend and the biggest MMA legend in Japanese history. So it's a chance for fans to watch a different style of wrestling that isn't prevalent anymore, but it's going to resemble more UFC than it is going to pro wrestling.
Yeah. And of course, Minoru Suzuki does compete with Jack Swagger for worst hair in wrestling. Difference is he does it on purpose. So that'll be something to take a look at for there, Addy. You'll know him by the hair.
And that UWFI, they used to play that on TSN in the it was probably around 97, 98. You used to be able to get that late at night on TSN, and that was entertaining stuff.
So you got the singles match for the Never Openweight Championship up next. That's Tomohiro Ishii versus Togi Makabe.
I'll give you all the credit in the world because most people don't even take shots at their first names. you know, if you watch the Ishii, man, I mean, he's an unbelievable talent. He's so hard. He's a throwback. He's the short black trunks, bald head, old school Japanese strong style man. And he brings it. You watch him in that G1, he completely separated his shoulder and still just kept, you know, gritting his teeth and going out there every night and having great matches. And, you know, he's facing the Japanese Bruiser Brody, you know, so you're not going to see a ton of technical action in this match. You're going to see hard hitting, you know, action, and you're going to see some brawling. And this is one of those matches that I'm sure you're going to see probably spill out of the ring and move around. You probably maybe see a chair. This is going to provide a change of pace for the good brawl.
Yeah, and this is where I may have to disagree with you, because, I mean, if we're talking black boots and black trunks, I mean, that'll never get over.
Yeah, never.
a perfect way to, you talk about that's going to be a little bit more of a brawling match. Then they're going to follow that up with the singles match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, Ryusuke Taguchi versus Kenny Omega.
Yeah, you know, Taguchi is a great talent. Obviously, he's the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Kenny Omega, fellow Canadian, you know, has been doing amazing things in Japan for a long time under the DDT banner. And he's competed in New Japan before. He's been in the best of the Super Juniors. He's actually competed before in the Tokyo Dome, but this is his first time in the Tokyo Dome since signing a full-time contract with New Japan. And, Kenny Omega, I always say, is my sleeper for performance of the night, because he just does things that, you know, you look at him and you say, there's no way the human body should be able to do that. And he does that time and time again, night after night. So that's going to be an unbelievable match when it comes to just unbelievable athleticism.
and newest member of the Bullet Club.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he's got a cool look. His wrestling is off the hook. And I mean, I just think it's going to be, you know, Kenny Omega, you know, a chance to cement himself as the top junior heavyweight in the world.
All right. Speaking of the Bullet Club, they're going to be defending Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, their IWGP Tag Team Championship against Mayo Tag. And that's Hiroki Goto and Kasesori Shibata. And I wasn't going to do those, but now I feel like I had to because of what you said.
Well, Goto and Shibata are amazing wrestlers. Goto, thick and powerful. Shibata, lean. Both of them great amateurs. They actually went to school together coming up. They feuded for a long time, now formed a tag team. They won the tag league, the December tag team tournament there, which earned you a shot at the titles, including beating the champions of Gallows and Gunn. So the pressure's on. Gallows and Gunn have held those titles, for pretty much a year. And they got a hell of a challenge here. It should be a great match. I mean, Goto and Shibata, amazing Japanese talent, traditional, you know, native Japanese versus your gaijin heels. And, should be a fantastic tag match.
And this is just, one of those situations. It's great booking when you don't abuse the champions getting pinned in a non-title situation. Now you can come back and you've got a perfect, simple, easy story of, we beat you once, we'll do it again. This time the titles are on the line.
Yeah, they've proven that they can beat Gallows and Gunn. Now they got to prove that they can beat them, under all the pressure of being on the biggest stage out there.
Yeah, and Gallows is somebody that people, again, they would have seen here. And he was underused, I think it's fair to say. How will you describe it to people? How is he different in Japan? How is his personality, his wrestling different, his persona?
Well, I mean, I just think he's comfortable. You know, he's not, you know, when you're in WWE and stuff like that, sometimes, I mean, you're just kind of like you're pushed into, this is what you're to do. I mean, and you're almost like you mentioned it with Matt Stryker. There's the chance of being overproduced. And, when you're overproduced, you're not given a chance to sign. Well, the handcuffs are off in New Japan. I mean, he basically, I actually, worked out the deal to send him over there last year. And it was basically just, hey, go there. Do your thing. Be big. Be a badass, I mean, him and Machine Gun just, clicked right away as a tag team. They look great together. Carl Anderson, Machine Gun is obviously a great tag team. He's a great wrestler in general, but I mean, he's very experienced in tag team. Is him and Bernard A-Train, Albert, yeah, were one of the best gaijin tag teams in Japanese history. And actually this show, by appearing on this show, Carl Anderson will tie Bernard's record for the most Tokyo Dome appearances by a gaijin wrestler.
Wow. All right. Speaking of gaijin wrestlers, AJ Styles, Hattie's wrestler of the year.
I can pronounce that one.
Can you get that one?
Yeah, I can. Yeah,
how did that go? It's AJ.
Yeah.
S.
Styrus.
Yes. Tetsuya Naito. And he is himself a former winner of the G1 Climax tournament, Naito is, and this should be just like, this should be unreal.
Yeah, Naito's a guy who's been banging on the door. You talk about the big three in New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I know we'll be getting to here. He's that guy who's been number four and have been knocking on that door and trying to show that he can be at the very top of the top, the elite of the elite. He's a fantastic, charismatic performer. He's an athlete. He's a heavyweight who still continues to wrestle, with that junior heavyweight style. And he's in there against, a Bullet Club member and a guy to me who has had a breakout year in 2014. And how do you be a multi-time heavyweight champion and one of the most decorated wrestlers in history and have a breakout year? But that's what AJ Styles has done, because he's just taking his game and he gets moved to a whole nother level. And kind of like how we talked about with Gallows, It's just a matter of him just, you know, being, you know, pushed in the right direction, being put in a situation to succeed and being sent out there to, you know, to compete and perform. And he shined in that New Japan environment. He's been unbelievable in 2014. And, you know, him and Naito definitely, you know, are going to be out there. They're going to have a fantastic match and definitely one of those matches that, that may, as you say, quote unquote, steal the show.
Well, he always looks now, he looks determined and relaxed at the same time. Like the pressure is off, but I'm going to show you how damn good I am. So,
yeah. And I mean, and Jado and Gato have taken something away from you, Scott, and that I had always said that no one booked AJ Styles better than Scott D'Amore. And now, he's actually taken that to a whole other level in 2014.
Yeah. He's, I mean, the stuff he's doing now is just out of this world, you know, from his debut all the way through. He had an unbelievable IWGP heavyweight title run. And he's just, you know, it's just a fantastic year, and he's going to keep it rolling right into 2015, I'm sure. Yeah.
So now we're going to get on to Shinsuke Nakamura. And again, he's somebody else that I don't think anybody can – let's put it this way. I think what he is, what WWE wants or are trying to and aren't quite achieving with the Dean Ambrose character is almost what he is. He's just this very different, unique character. And incredible charisma. And he's defending against the man who has, along with Prince Devitt, kind of dominated the junior division the last few years in Kota Ibushi. And Kota Ibushi moving up now to the heavyweight ranks here with this one. And I just think, again, there's no reason to think that this won't be a phenomenal match.
Yeah, Ibushi has proven himself. Sorry, guys, I called peeping in. You know, he's proven himself at the junior heavyweight level.
Here's was it Jeff Jarrett?
What's that?
Was it Jeff Jarrett?
It was not.
Oh, it's too bad, because you could put him on the line with us, too.
Damn it, he's always trying to steal my thunder. but, yeah, no, Ibushi has been a tremendous junior heavyweight talent. He's put on some great performances. You know, and this is his opportunity to step up in this position on this card, being positioned this high, and you know, being in there with a guy. And I just want to say about one thing. Look at Nakamura's first name,
Shinsuke.
I mean, yeah, it's Shinsuke.
Shinsuke, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, there's no way that thing spells Shinsuke in any language.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's what it is, man.
All right. Well, I do my best. At least I know.
No, you've done tremendous. You've done better than I ever would. But Shinsuke is like you said. I mean, he is in my opinion the most charismatic performer in wrestling anywhere in the world right now. He's elevated that IWGP Intercontinental title to the point that it's a major title. Like, it headlined the Tokyo Dome last year, the Intercontinental title rather than the heavyweight title.
Yeah, when they hear Intercontinental title, a North American fan hears Intercontinental title, they have a picture of a jobber, you know, and that is not the case here.
No, I mean, a champion makes the title. I mean, that's an old Chris Benoit line. It's the wrestler that makes the title, not the title that makes the wrestler. And, you know, the Intercontinental title in New Japan has been elevated so high because it's been you know, predominantly the property of Shinsuke Nakamura, and this match will be an outstanding match. Yes, and you know, Shinsuke's got my vote for. I'm going to say he probably have the entrance of the year.
Nakamura, the lunatic fringe of New Japan.
Yes.
When you see him, you'll see it. You'll see it. It's a different character, but he does it better than anybody else could. And then, of course, the main event is your I mean, just a legendary rivalry of Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kazuchi Okada. And Okada and Tanahashi. This, again, just the crowd heat alone will elevate this match a star or two.
Is this the match I saw?
I don't know if this is the match you saw. The
5-star match I watched.
I don't know. I don't know what you watched.
It can't be the match you saw, because it doesn't happen until January 4th.
Ah, live on pay-per-view.
Yes.
Presented by GFW, Full Force Wrestling, and available on all your North American pay-per-view providers, as well as Flips TV app. for those of you outside of North America. You're welcome, Scott.
Yeah, thank you. Good plug. This match has headlined the Tokyo Dome before. It's the two biggest stars in the industry, and in the culture, and they're out there. I mean, you know, it's funny, you can't steal the show when you're in the main event because you're already the main freaking event.
Yeah.
But these guys are going to deliver. And, they headlined a few years ago and had one of the greatest matches in history. They know that pressure's on them. And they know delivering anything other than a historic match is going to be a disappointment. And I can't see these two disappointing. They're such great competitors and they're such great performers and they're so driven. And they really do have great chemistry together. And I think they're going to be the capping off of an amazing 4 hours of wrestling action here for Wrestle Kingdom. And, they're in the main event for a reason. They're the two biggest stars. It's over the biggest prize in wrestling, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And it's going to be the perfect ending to a perfect night.
Yeah, and the one thing I love about this card as we go up and down it is just, and I talked about that one TNA show that you booked that had the gore and had the Bobby Heenan appearance and had the three-way exhibition. That's really what this reminds me of, in that you've got your four-way unbelievable action to open. You've got your UWFI rules match. You've got your Legends type match, and you've got all these other types of different matches that are going up and down the card, that no two matches are going to look the same.
Yeah, it really is a great mix of styles and talents, and that's something that New Japan does better than anybody in the world. That's something that Global Force Wrestling is looking to do here in 2015. And, it all kicks off, January 4th. It's amazing. It's hard to think about. It's going to be the fourth day of the year. But, I think that it's going to be the show of the year, because anything that comes after January 4th is sure going to have it's going to be a tough act to follow. And, we're going to kick 2015 off right. And, if you're a wrestling fan, give this pay-per-view a chance, because if you love wrestling, you love this show. If you love wrestling but you've been disenchanted or haven't been drawn into it,
in other words, if a bunny comes on your TV and you go, oh fuck me, or a bull comes on your TV during a wrestling match, or a Mighty Mouse character, and you've had enough of that bullshit, try this.
This will be better than Fastlane.
I honestly just think it. I mean, and not to sound cocky, but this product is so good that if you watch this show and you sit there for 4 hours through this and you weren't entertained, that, I mean, I'll be shocked to the point that I'll honestly say that, and I don't mean this ignorantly or Vince McMahon-esque, but like maybe you just don't love wrestling anymore. I just don't know how you can watch this and not be drawn into it. If you're a wrestling fan, you are going to love this event. And I think January 4th, 2015 is going to be a date that'll be remembered as a date when it started again, right? When North American fans started to fall in love with wrestling again. They're not watching it because it's Monday night. They're not watching it because they paid $9.99. So, they might as well watch it.
What is the price point on this one? Is it $30 for the event?
It's 35. It's 35 bucks.
35 bucks. Okay. Yeah. So that's very fair. That's very fair. $35 and you have 4 hours of incredible action.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 4 hours, not three. And it's, I just really think we're giving fans their money's worth. So, I hope people give it a chance and check it out. You've said it before. It's on all your cable satellite providers. You've mentioned that the flip apps, it's downloadable on iTunes and Android. I'm technologically challenged, but you can run it through your game system, see it on your TV.
Stream it right through your Xbox.
There's no way, that you can't get this signal if you have either cable, satellite, or internet.
We've
got it out to you.
You've given us an awful lot of your time. We don't want to take you up for too much longer, but I am wondering, do you get, when you're watching this product, this New Japan, and you talk about loving wrestling again, and I mean, we're in an interesting time where, TNA is in a new spot, but with a bad time slot, 9 p.m. Friday night, on a station that doesn't have the reaches what they used to have. And Lucha Underground has been well received by fans and yet struggling to find its audience. ROH continues to put on a good product, but some people are still put off by the production values. WWE, these last couple of Raws has had two of the lowest ratings since 1997.
Good year.
Good. 1997 was a good year, yeah. But you're in an interesting place what you guys sound like you're trying to do is what wrestling fans want to see, what they want to achieve now. They want to have something different. But I'm wondering, do you feel very inspired? Are you creatively kind of now your juices inspired by watching New Japan and seeing how they do it and thinking, this is how it's supposed to be?
Yeah, I mean, I never saw myself getting back into the wrestling business on any real level. I was over there last year for Wrestle Kingdom. I was over there. I have students that are in different companies as well. And I was, watching them, visiting them. I wanted to see Shelly and Kushida, two former students of mine, wrestle in the Tokyo Dome. And I mean, I really, it got that fire burning again. And then, just talking with Jeff Jarrett and kind of helping him with a couple little things, it kind of sucked me back into it, and it's brought my real love for the business back. It's been a combination of the New Japan product and the passion that I've seen with Jeff Jarrett and Kevin Sullivan and everybody with GFW, and that's why I think 2015 is going to be an amazing year.
How far ahead of time did you, when you were with TNA, how far ahead of time did you kind of book your storylines out?
We always kind of tried to, at least 6 months ahead of time, kind of know where we were going to be for Bound for Glory, if not sooner. There's some times where shortly after Bound for Glory, we knew what we wanted the next main to Bound for Glory to maybe be. But actually booking the shows out, we wanted to have an idea of what our monthly pay-per-view was, and then we booked all the TV shows towards that.
So now, when you were with TNA and booking there, they decided to make a change in direction shortly after they got Spike TV, is that correct?
No, I took over while we were Dark, and then, we launched on Spike a couple months later. We launched on October of 05. I'd taken over in May of 05. And then I think Vince Russo returned in September of 06.
And fucked everything up?
you guys can say that.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Not really. No, he really fucked everything up. That's right.
It is what it is. I was actually grateful. You don't get replaced and kept around usually.
And it's really what they did for me. The Knockout division, if I remember correctly, you were working with that, and they were just unbelievable. And moving the ratings and everything like that.
I'm really proud of the stuff. I'm glad I stayed because my original reaction when they brought Russo in is that I was quitting. Yeah. And Jeff actually talked me into staying. And I'm glad he did, because there's a lot of things I learned in those next couple of years that I was still there.
What not to do?
Were valuable lessons. But just valuable lessons I learned as far as how to conduct myself and things I needed to learn. And then I had the whole experience with the Knockouts, and that Knockouts experience was amazing. And
awesome.
Then I was able, then when the time was really right, when I was leaving in 06, when I was going to leave, it's because I was angry and I was hurt. When I finally did leave, I left because my father was sick and dying. So I left for a real reason instead of a petty, egotistical reason. And looking back at me, that's important to me, is that I stayed and hung in there and tried to contribute when I was no longer the guy in charge. And that was a lesson I needed to learn.
It probably is something you probably can learn to become a better person and better creatively from it. But I'm kind of wondering what your plan was at the time. We talk about how where the company was. What was your plan? What was your vision going forward for TNA? What were you planning to do Who are you planning to put the title on down the road? Obviously, Samoa Joe was not yet champion, and but had a just, you know, he was the undefeated, unsubmitted Samoan submission machine or whatever it was. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I think the thing that was frustrating for us was, I remember when Addy told me, phoned me up, and he was at work, and work was not as important as phoning me up and telling me Vince Russo was coming back. And I remember just the frustration that we really felt like what you were doing was looking at the WWE product at the time and saying, let's be good at everything they're not good at. Was almost like that was your theory. Was, okay, this is what they're not doing. Let's do this then. Let's be this. And we're successful at it. And there was a real momentum.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm proud of what we put out there. You know, and I unfortunately gotta wrap this up here.
Okay.
In the next couple of minutes. But you know, to me it was big having Christian Cage come over.
Yeah.
Because I felt he wasn't tainted, and maybe I'm biased because, I mean, he's one of my best friends, but I thought he was a real great guy to have as a cornerstone for our company. He was never, and me and him talked about this many times, we never wanted him to be that guy, like the front and center, because he was a WWE guy, but we really thought we could use him to, you know, elevate, you know, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. And that's kind of what we were thinking at the time. There was a long-term plan already to, you know, to culminate in Joe winning the world title. You know, and as I've said, what was your idea of the big three? My big three was Christian as the veteran, you know, AJ as the franchise, and, you know, Joe as just that, you know, that killer wrestling machine. I think the three of them, you know, really could have been, you know, could have been the cornerstones for that company. And then, you know, you had lots of other great talent around them to fill it out and do great stories with. But that was kind of my thoughts, our thoughts on where we were going. Obviously, a lot changed in September of 6 when Kurt Angle joined the fray. You know, certainly that, you know, having Kurt there has been a blessing to TNA, because he's an amazing talent, and he goes and, you know, lays it on the line out there every night.
Well, we'll give you a chance here to wrap it up, Addy. Is there any last thing you want to say to Scott?
No, I just I think you mentioned sort of TNA giving people the opportunity to see what back in the day, to see what WWE isn't. I think Global Force Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling are going to do that on January the 4th, and that's bring wrestling fans like myself that don't get to see this all the time. This is kind of what we've been looking for, and this is something different. And I'm really looking forward to January 4th. And Scott, I want to thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Scott. We're really looking forward to it. We really appreciate your time. We hope you'll talk with us again down the road. All the bad things said about anything was us and not you. We should mention that. thank you very much. I hope you had yourself a good holiday season, Christmas, and hope you have a great 2015. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate the being on, and I enjoyed it. So much appreciated, guys. And
we're pretty great guys. We're sure
you guys enjoyed January 4th. Yeah, it's pretty hard not to enjoy it.
No. Please, go ahead. I'm sorry I cut you off. Your final word from Scott Friggin Damore. Is that your official name? Is that your Christian name?
Yes, my middle initial is F. So
there you go. Final word, Scott. Go ahead. This time I won't say nothing. That's hard for me.
You know what? I think I said it once before. You're a wrestling fan. Check it out. January 4th, 4 hours, the greatest wrestling action out there. I'm telling you, you know, pluck down $35. You know, you got to do it all by yourself. Wrestling's best enjoyed in groups. And although we'd like every person to watch it personally alone from a business perspective, get 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people together, have a party, enjoy some food, have some drinks, and watch this show and fall in love with wrestling again if you haven't felt that way in a while.
That's right. Order the show, then go to your friends.
Right. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Scott. All right. That was a great look at New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. Scott Damore, and now we're back. It's us. And we'll talk about stuff that's happening.
In the meantime, and in between, oh, we're going to talk about more stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm going to play WWE Supercard.
Are you? Supercard.
And then in between, you'll talk about stuff. But I didn't get, I mean, we mentioned Pac,
Adrian Neville. Yes.
As Mighty Mouse, but we didn't really get into how much I hate the WWE.
Well, it's actually a Mighty Mouse-inspired gimmick. Hmm. So, you know, don't get too crazy yet.
Oh, so it'll be fine then.
Yeah, it'll just be okay. You know, like Max Moon was to Conan,
or to Paul Diamond,
or to Paul Diamond. Actually, this would help Paul Diamond, but or what Aldo Montoya did to PJ Walker.
Oh,
just incredible.
Yeah, it was just incredible what they did to PJ mm-hmm. Walker.
Yes, Or what Mr. JL did to Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, huge superstars, all of them. Mm-hmm. Or what the Blue Blazer did to Owen Hart.
This is a bad idea.
This is a very bad idea.
My God. Yeah, like, what was the last non-Mexican masked wrestler that worked?
In WWE? WWF?
Yeah.
Kane?
I guess Kane, yeah. Kane had a mask.
I think you could count that.
Yeah, you'd have to count that. That's true. Like, I don't really count Mankind, because it wasn't really a mask, and he just kind of, I don't know, I guess it was more of like a headgear.
Yeah, I mean, you could see his mask. It was no doubt it was still Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Cactus Jack. It's not like it looked different, you know? Yeah, I mean, none of this ever works.
Anybody in WCW?
No.
Wasn't Mexican, right?
What was that? There was that one, Blitzkrieg or whatever? He wasn't Mexican.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be Mexican.
Yeah, true.
His gimmick was that he was Mexican. It's like, get this, Max Moon, not from the moon.
What?
Huh.
I was watching, for Christmas, WKRP box set.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm watching, they're all watching Herb Tarlick's home movies, like slides. Yep. And they're doing these slides, and they're doing it's Disneyland. And he goes, that's me. And the guy beside me, that dog guy, that's Goofy. He goes, but it wasn't really Goofy. It's just a guy in a suit. And then somebody says, and Johnny goes, so you're telling me they don't actually have the real Goofy at Disneyland? And Herb just kind of goes, yeah. Yeah. It was awesome.
Nice. But yes, Adrian Neville to have right now on the books is a Mighty Mouse inspired character.
Because what he does is he goes to NXT, changes his style slightly for them, yeah. Improves his mic skills.
And learns how to cut a promo, exactly.
Yeah, improves his mic skills, is their champion, and gets over.
Yeah.
So what you want to do then is put a mask on him. Because
then we look at him and we go, this guy has big ears. I know. Let's make him Mighty Mouse.
Well, they probably first tried Dumbo. And then when they decided that he could fly.
Well, he couldn't make enough weight.
Yeah,
I've never seen an elephant fly. That's from Dumbo. It's an exact quote.
You know, they also didn't really have Dumbo, probably, at Disneyland.
Huh. Really?
Yeah.
Well, they would if you went.
So, this guy's going to be so ashamed that he's on this show later.
I know, right?
But anyways, this is what it comes like to me.
Okay.
Vince McMahon is sitting there on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, and Stone Cold brings up people are wondering if you're out of touch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not out of touch. Fuck you, I'm out of touch. I'm Vince fucking McMahon.
Yeah.
I'm 69 years old, and I have the penis of a 12-year-old.
Yes.
I can go. I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
And then they come out there, and they do this this thing with this bunny.
Mm.
And the bunny, they're supposed to get some baby face or heel heat by beating up the bunny.
Yeah.
And people cheer it.
Yeah, one more time.
They cheer the bunny getting beat up.
Yeah, the bunny the bunny is Doink the Clown.
And the exactly.
Kill the Clown, remember?
And the bunny is getting booed. And Torito, when he's out there, is getting booed. And your ratings are following. And so this is Vince McMahon.
They're following, actually.
What did I say?
Following.
Yeah, no,
they don't have a following.
No, they don't have a... The ratings are falling. And so they're sitting there. The Following, that's a good show. Kevin Bacon, you like that one?
I like Bacon.
You don't like Kevin?
No.
So anyways, what was I saying?
I don't know. I was No.
So they're sitting there. This is Vince McMahon. He's sitting there going, "You don't like what I'm giving you, pal? You guys don't like it? I'm going to force feed you what you don't like. Fuck you." Mm-hmm. That's what this is. This is, or at least that's what it feels like. It
How
feels
does
like
say
Vince...
that?
That hurt to do.
I bet.
Fuck you.
Yeah. But I, you know what I like about this, and we were talking with Scott D'Amore and Global Force and New Japan Pro Wrestling and Wrestle Kingdom 9 is that it really made me think back to watching that pre-show and just been thinking about it, you know, since it's been announced, but really all week, and that back in, say, that 1993-1995 time period,
mm-hmm.
when North American Wrestling just sucked wiener.
Yes, it did.
You know, and King Mabels and Diesels and all of this crap. Then what ended up happening is you're all Japan women. You know, even AAA,
mm-hmm.
In Mexico again. Just those things were on fire.
Yes, they were. Yeah.
And unbelievable. But it was 1993.
Unbelievable.
It was 1993, 1995. We just didn't have, there wasn't the technology that, you know, the WCW put on the One Worlds Collide pay-per-view. But other than that, we didn't have that ability outside of tape trading or you know, reading sheets or whatever to be able to even know these things existed.
No, exactly.
And now in 2000 and coming to 2015, we've got that ability.
Did you say coming into 2015?
I will be. And with you know, with the internet and just with streaming and all of this stuff, now we've got the ability to see Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Yes,
and we'll have the ability, I think, to see, you know, a Triple Mania,
New Japan World Triple Mania.
But we're also able, with that Access Television that's going to be coming up for New Japan as well, you know, to be able to get these things online and get some more. The alternatives are going to be there more readily available than they've ever been before, and I think that's going to be Global Force Wrestling's benefit right now.
Absolutely.
You know,
The thing is, and this is what I don't know.
A lot of things.
Okay.
Most things.
This is now going to become the longest show we've ever done.
This is what you don't know.
Yes. No, but here's, do we have a chance? Can wrestling grow? Like, can ROH grow, New Japan grow, Lucha Underground, can all these guys grow? Because people are sick of what the WWE is putting on, and things like the Bunny, and what they're going to do with Adrian Neville, and Vince McMahon's, you know, denseness, and Stone Cold, and all this stuff. Is this... Will all these other companies grow because people are going to be like, fuck you, I'm looking for something else?
Yeah.
Or will they only grow if the WWE grows? And what I mean is,
yeah,
as the WWE goes, so goes wrestling. If the WWE got more popular and was on fire, people would then seek out these other stuff because... Or would they not bother because they're WWE fans and they're satisfied? Or would they now seek out more stuff because they're into the idea of watching wrestling?
I think a little from column A, a little from column B. I think the thing is what has to happen is, yeah, but the thing is if WWE grows, then it's going to, generally be speaking, be because people are into the WWE products. They won't seek out alternatives.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no point in going somewhere else if they like what they're seeing on the WWE. Right now, WWE sucks wiener, and I think they said...
Well, they're not that good.
What the Global Force is doing is giving an accessible outlet to it. As I said, I mean, I don't know Bad Luck Fale, and I don't know
he's Samoan.
Really?
He was about 6'4" and about 270 pounds and Samoan guy.
But I don't know Naito or
No, you don't know.
I know Shelton Benjamin. I know Davey Boy Smith.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, the Red Dragon and Jeff Jarrett. And I know enough of the guys that are going to be on this card that it's like, and Jim Ross, right? And it's going to be, that's what's going to drive me over there. And that's what WCW did.
Would you be watching this if this was put on and the announcer was Josh Matthews and Matt Stryker?
I would, yeah.
I
would still watch it. It's probably not going to be as good. The thing is that I may watch that one, but would I watch the next one?
Yeah.
Right?
So in other words, if Jim Ross is there just for the one show, will they continue to... Will they lose fans, or will they be so impressed by the show they'll continue to come back? What I'm saying is, how key is... Can they roll without Jim Ross?
Well, Jim Ross gave the good point, and I thought it was tremendous what he said when he had said, you know, the guys in the ring are going to play the music. He's just hoping to give an appropriate lyric to the music.
That's true, exactly.
And so that's really what it is that, I mean, going to New Japan, that's going... I think the in-ring action is going to speak for itself.
Yeah.
And so... I think that the announcing is going to help get over, you know, Jim Ross was never, you know, about, he's grabbing a wrist lock, you know, collar and elbow tie up, duck underneath into the hammer lock.
I wouldn't say he was never about
No, but
he was in WCW.
But not
the guy that we...
The greatest announcer of all time is Stone Cold. As God is my witness, he is broken in half.
That's true.
Moments.
Pinata.
Right? Yeah. Those moments.
Yeah.
That,
it was crazy when Scott said, when you listen to the soundtrack of wrestling moments in your mind, most of them are called by Jim Ross. And I was like, holy fuck, there's a soundtrack of wrestling moments in my mind that's constantly playing, and I didn't realize it, and I'm a little creeped out.
Really? Mm. You didn't realize that?
I thought it was just clown music.
No, that's just Doink's entrance that keeps playing over and over in your head. See, I also have Getting Rowdy by Kay Quick going through my head. Getting my hat rack cracked.
That's true, you probably do.
But I just look at it like those are the kind of moments that Jim Ross will bring to this when there's an exciting finish to a match and the music plays and the crowd goes nuts. He's going to enhance that in a way that like, we'll call it a Josh Matthews would not, right?
That's exactly it.
Pick on Josh Matthews.
No.
You know, I don't mind, but just didn't mean to. Just so I think that's what Jim Ross is going to bring. Do we need Jim Ross to the next event? I don't know. I mean, again, if you tell me, would you like Jim Ross to call the next event? Yes.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just, I don't even know what, like, it could be, like, they're going to have the Westminster Dog Show on the USA Network again. I'd like Jim Ross to call that.
Yeah, chance I might watch it then. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it's just anything that you could do. World League of Poker. Could Jim Ross call that? Yes, please.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he's that good. And I think it enhances. I think I don't know that we're giving him too much airtime because it is important. But I think the action in the ring is going to speak for itself. And as I said, and it's just going to be a matter of, I mean, a great Japanese wrestling. I watched that. I don't even remember who the guys were. The 5-star match that Meltzer gave. And I went and I watched it maybe a year and a half ago now.
Probably was. Probably was Okada and Tanahashi.
Yeah, I thought so. And so I think Okada was definitely in it. But anyway, and it was Japanese announcing. And I didn't even notice.
No.
Because the match was so good.
No, once you get into the match, you forget that. One of the things that I find when I'm watching a Japanese match and I'm watching it in Japan is that Japanese match in Japan. When I'm watching it with the Japanese announcing is after a little while, I start listening to the guys. Because the way they make the show, you can really hear the guys.
Yeah.
So I don't hear the guys, now I don't hear them calling spots because it's not John Cena. So what I hear...
And you don't speak Japanese. So maybe they are calling spots and you just don't know it.
But it's not John Cena, so I'm assuming they're not. Because he's shitty for that.
Mm.
But anyways, what was I saying?
I wasn't really listening.
Anyways, like I was saying... what I find is I'm listening to the guys, and because they'll be screaming at each other, they'll be saying things. I can tell their emotion. I can tell when they're angry at the ref. I can tell when they're hurting. Mm-hmm. That's what I start to focus in on is what sounds are kind of coming out of the guys as they're giving their performance, and it's it's not so much the words, it's the emotion that's obviously being carried. And I just kind of ignore the announcers and get into that other part.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's... I said that I think that's what we're looking at. I think that's the age, and I think that's the advantage that the global force has right now, is that is technology, and things are going to be more readily available to know that there's an alternative out there.
Yeah,
you know, and that's going to be key. And is it, if they, and New Japan has enough recognizable North American people.
Absolutely.
To fans, right? Like your Jeff
and they'll cut those. They'll cut those promos in English, and because it's in Japan, they can say "fuck" and it's okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know.
I would love to see more of this.
That's what the Bullet Club does.
Do they?
Sure.
Ooh, fuck.
Well, not AJ Styles.
No, he's a Christian.
He's a Christian fellow.
Yeah. Well, I used to follow him. Right? Yeah. Him and Tomko.
Yeah.
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 But I think
if he's a Christian fellow, then why wasn't he used better by Russo?
It's true. Ring of Glory.
Russo's an idiot.
Speaking of a good Christian fellow, Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash, apparently him and his family enjoy drinking eggnog over the holiday season. And national headlines.
Did it get that national headlines?
It got national headlines. Literally, Nash and all headlines.
Wow.
That, him and, what is his son's name? Tristan?
Tristan, yeah.
Were, who's a cracker? Were involved in an altercation.
Yeah.
I enjoy the fact that Nash claims that Tristan claims that Nash tried to choke slam him.
Yes, it's easy to do that on somebody unless they go up for you.
Yeah. Just ask Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and so he was supposed to be at a Maryland Championship Wrestling event, and of course...
I didn't realize they got national... I couldn't help but laugh a little bit. He's just all cut up and scratched, and the word is, Christian is... just took him down and held him down. His son said he tried to choke slam him. And then his wife was beat up by his son afterwards.
Yeah.
His son used to want to be a musician, and now I don't know what he wants to be, but he's 6'5".
Well, so, his son wanted to be a musician. Of course, his son wants to be a wrestler.
Apparently, while they listed his son as 6'5", they also listed him at 7 feet. So, these are apparently work tights.
Yeah, so his son is 5'11".
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But
Nash is legit probably 6'8", 6'7".
I would think so. I mean, he did play basketball, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah, so I'm sure his son probably is a big dude. But, he's on a Legends contract, suspended by WWE.
Now he's on a suspension, which means we probably won't see him at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
like, in terms of at the Access or anything.
Sure we will.
You think we will?
Yeah, it's fucking, how many months from now? 3 months?
Three.
Oh my god, we're going to be at WrestleMania in 3 months. I should buy tickets to go down there. I mean, plane tickets.
Oh, plane tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done that either, to be honest. They said 45 days before is when it's cheapest.
Oh, is it?
That's the rule of thumb.
All right.
So I was kind of waiting until a couple weeks, actually. Would be just before the Rumble.
Okay.
Would be...
I like being the cheapest.
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to think of what else happened in the world of wrestling. It's really just over the holidays been slow, Nash... been arrested and then Nash's altercation, I should say, and then there's also New Japan is really the global.
Well, we should talk that. Let's run down the card.
Of what? Which card?
New Japan.
Oh, we did that already.
What?
Yeah.
When?
I want to say an hour ago.
Oh. Was I here?
No. Well, you were here. You weren't all there. Did you hear about the Survivor Series buy rate?
Yes, 100,000 buys.
103,000 buys. And it was 33,000 in North America.
That is the funniest fucking thing. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. They got to be. Now, what other time would they have 100,000 buys for a pay-per-view where they built a card this shitty and then be pissed off about it? Like,
well, no. The fact is, though, is that that was available for free.
Yes.
And 103,000 people still. And now the 170,000 were overseas, right? So they're still not in England. The network's still not in England.
Are you sure it wasn't on free TV there?
No. But it was overseas, so it was people that obviously didn't get the network, right?
And well, then I don't know. There's it's in 180 countries or some bullshit now,
true.
Right?
That's true. So some of which have the internet.
Yeah.
And then you've got 15,000 of the buys are from Canada.
Right? Okay.
So really what happened is in the United States of America, about 18,000 people bought the show. Hmm. So that's really not that... That's really not that big of a deal.
No, I suppose, because there's probably that many people who are interested in the show who don't have a high-speed internet connection.
And the funny thing
about it... they're just technologically...
Well, you know, Sting was a big deal in Georgia.
Hmm.
And news broke that Sting was going to be on the show, right?
That's true.
So, and they don't have the internet in Georgia.
No.
So
Atlanta is one of the smallest cities in America.
It's true. Well, because of the zombies. But I looked at the breakdown. I mean, some of the B shows were doing like 120,000 total buys,
mm-hmm.
and this one's doing 103 on the network. So I mean, financially, that's got to be considered a success. They're pissed. They're pissed. But
that's funny. Like I say, they have a successful, like they make money. Technically, you make money.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, yeah.
It just, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But
that is how uninterested, I mean, I just wonder what there's, I mean, we don't know. That's the problem. And we may never know because how many people spiked and ordered the network for free. And we may never know because by the time they have to release the numbers again, it won't be those numbers they'll be releasing.
Yeah, they won't be doing the breakdown, right? Month by month or anything, right?
So, I mean, we may never know. And again, though, there's not a feeling that there's any momentum for the WWE products. So,
no.
Saying that, I don't think that, I don't have a sense that they added a lot of people.
I do think, though, that the show itself, I did think, I mean, they did build the Survivor Series well, I think. As we look back. I mean, I remember being excited.
They built that main event work.
I remember talking positively about how there was a slow burn. Every week there was, in the main event, there was something new added that it was going to be Team Authority. And here's somebody from Team Authority. They hadn't announced who Team Cena was yet. And then they announced Ziggler. And then they sort of thing. And then the deal with the... I mean, as much as...
The main event work, the crowd that night, right from the first time when the Authority came out at the Survivor Series.
Yeah.
It was obvious the crowd was into that match. And you know what? It was a one-match show. It had the stipulation. And we have seen the Authority once since then. So, I mean, it was everything else was awful, but that worked.
Yes.
So, yes.
It had the debut like, of the vigilante Sting.
Then again, the TV leading up to it, you say the booking for that match was good, but the TV was shit, because they're not necessarily the same thing. Because the TV's been shit now for like 3 months.
Oh, yeah, the overall, well, I mean, again, this may surprise you, but 3 hours is too damn long.
Too damn long?
Too damn long.
How long is it?
So long. Long enough to get Ho-Ho Hogan on my TV.
Mm.
That was tremendous.
Really?
It was. he looked very natural. Playing a 100-year-old man. We were watching something with the producer. Was it here in Canada? On Rogers Sportsnet, they were playing just the live stream of the WWE Network free for everyone. just over the holidays. They had random spots where it would be 3 hours. I think the other day...
Even though you still can't get it where we are, technically.
Technically, no. But it was all afternoon, I think, they were playing it. So I watched the WrestleMania, you know, the producer, we sit down, she goes, let's not watch Netflix, I'll watch the fucking network. Just watch something on TV, like actual TV. We just watch TV. I said, sure, we can just watch TV. And I'm flipping channels, and the network was on.
So technically it's on TV, so it's though. TV. I mean, you were right. You weren't.
So we watched WrestleMania Rewind with Hogan and Andre.
There you go.
And, I mean, I was there, so, I mean, I was like, just look for me. And, so it was, so we watched that, and then, of course, it was Hogan.
Yeah.
And then the other day, a Tribute to the Troops was on. So I PVR'd Tribute to the Troops. And so I started to watch
really?
That. Yeah, I started to watch that.
Really?
And because Hogan was on. Hmm. And so the producer's like, okay, I've watched a lot of wrestling lately. I'm like, yeah, but Hogan's on. And she goes, the last three things I've watched has been Hulk Hogan. Because he's awesome. He's the greatest professional athlete in the world today. So I had to turn it off. But well, no, the Tribute to the Troops, I remember last year I tricked the producer into watching Tribute to the Troops too, because we were just flipping channels. And they had Jeff Dunham on.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeff Dunham. So I was flipping channels. We were in Banff. At the, flipping channels. And Jeff Dunham's on. She's like, oh. So we stop him. You want to watch this? She goes, sure. I knew what it was. he's doing his thing. And so, you know, it's funny. And she's laughing. And all of a sudden you hear, well, it's the Big Show. And she's like, did you know this was wrestling? I'm like, no.
She didn't believe you, did she?
No, she didn't. Because I had a big grin on my face. But, yeah, so I still have Tribute to the Troops on the PBR because...
So I think we can agree that the network has tested your marriage.
Yes. Oh, it's tremendous. Tremendous. The 10,000 subscribers to New Japan World after 3 weeks.
Worldwide?
Worldwide.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, but the thing is, too, is I don't know that that they're not banking on it like
WWE. No. Right? It's just an additional source of income.
Yeah, this is exactly. This is like the magazine.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
And that's still $90,000 a month or whatever, right? Or,
yeah.
What, $100,000 a month?
It right.
Doesn't hurt to have in, right? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, the shows are almost selling out here. I mean, it just... They're the hottest wrestling company in the world right now.
They are hot, and AAA is hot.
Yeah.
AAA with the addition of a Mystico.
Who?
Mystico.
Which one's that?
Sin Cara.
Oh, I know him. He teams with Kalisto.
Yeah.
He jumped?
So with
Did
him...
Did he use a trampoline?
To get that high, he had to.
Huh.
So the addition of him there and Alberto Del Rio, Del Patron. Yeah, I mean, they're hot, for sure. In AAA, and then even hotter, like I say, New Japan. New Japan's making tons of money. Now, New Japan's roster is not that young. Like, their stars are generally not that young. Okada's an exception. So, I mean, that is a bit of a concern. But if you have good booking, you can overcome. Honestly, if you have good booking, you can easily overcome a shitty old roster. If you have bad booking, it doesn't matter what you have.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, you know what I learned from reading The Observer this week?
The what?
The Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Hmm. Who does that?
You know Slick?
Who?
The Doctor of Style.
Oh, Slick.
Yeah.
Jav Solbro?
Yeah. You know who his father was?
Who?
I didn't know this. Rufus R. Freight Train Jones.
Hmm. Who's that?
Hmm? He was a wrestler.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
I knew that.
Did you?
Nope.
No. Alberto Del Rio against Roderick Strong.
Yes, that's his debut match.
No, his debut match is, what's his debut match? It's, Christopher Daniels.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So far it's, and I guess, Alberto was asked to work specifically with ACH.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he says that he thinks ACH is fucking awesome, and he wants to work with ACH.
Well, I know he has said that he's going to be very picky about who he's working with in ROH.
It doesn't seem like it, though.
Those are still within Danielson Strong are pretty well established in ACH.
Alberto asked specifically asked to work with ACH, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three guys he asked to work with. He's going to work with Jay Lethal.
Okay.
On the pay-per-view, the March pay-per-view.
Roderick Strong just recently had a babyface turn. I imagine El Patron is coming in as a babyface, so that's interesting. Because, I mean, the other guys he's wrestling are heels.
Yeah.
Lethal's a heel. ACH isn't.
Daniels
is a heel, but ACH is a babyface. Maybe it's just about the best competition and the best whatever. Maybe it's, you know.
I believe that was the promo that El Patron cut on the Ring of Honor Wrestling.com. Is, I want some competition. Let's just see who... they're going to have the top prospect tournament again.
You know who should be the manager for a Patron? Forget about Ricardo. How about the Great Khali? He's available.
Is he available?
Yes.
Huh.
He was released.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. I want to hear about all the wonderful programming on Destination America.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I agree. I would love to see another strong company. I'd love to see every company strong and all the guys make a lot of money. But anyway, since that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Here. Okay, so now they're going to be establishing the Saturday morning 10 a.m. time slot with 3 straight hours of programming. Okay?
Okay.
The Best of Sting.
All right.
Is an hour.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Battle of the Snowbank, the Best of Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Comes on at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And
those are all summer matches.
Yeah, and Driving While Impaired, the Best of Kurt Angle Part 2.
Okay.
Comes on at noon. So that's the 3, and then the next following week, the there'll be an Impact replay from the night before replay with some
Best
exclusive
of Impact.
With some exclusive segments featuring Mike Tenay. And then other specials will be the Best of Rob Van Dam.
Mm-hmm,
they're going to do a...
So it's all their own current stars.
Best of Rob Van Dam. They're going to do like a 5-minute...
They're highlighting the guys that right now you can turn on Destination America and see Russell for TNA.
Exactly. Then you're going to turn on... they have these 5-minute snippets. One of the 5-minute snippets, the Best of Ken Anderson.
Mm.
So it's mostly commercials. Best of Jeff Hardy. Best of Samoa Joe. Best of Bully.
Who's gone, right?
Of Bully Ray.
Oh.
And Best of the Knockouts Division. So all the women get one show. Sexist.
Best of Knockout Division. So it'll be all the stuff that Scott D'Amore booked.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, did you hear when they did the final Spike Impact? Who's the best of?
No.
They counted down the best moments.
Oh, then they also have some worst moments?
I think so. Pretty much the whole show. But the you know what the number one, did you hear what this is? Do you know what this is already?
No.
The number one best moment.
Is this a shoot?
A shoot on Spike TV. The number one best moment in the whole, whatever it's been now, 14-year history of the company. What is the best moment in TNA history on their countdown?
No, I didn't hear. I'm trying to think of what would you consider the best moment? It wasn't on... Does it have to be on Spike TV or could it be on pay-per-view?
If it was moment?
Yeah.
Like, just actual moment,
not a
match.
Like the Kurt Angle debut.
I think the headbutt, The headbutt to Samoa Joe.
Was that his debut? I don't think that was actually
his
debut.
That was his in-ring debut. The debut, I think, was the video. And then they had the headbutt, I think, on Impact.
That's right. I think you're right.
That I remember the headbutt. I mean, there's stuff like... the Elix Skipper Cage... Her Karana walk.
Yes. That was amazing.
It was amazing.
There's the Daniels jumping from the corner into the center of the Destination X.
Yes, yeah.
Match to grab the
to grab the belts X or whatever the belt, the tag belt.
Yeah, for him and AJ against the I believe that was against
was the America's Most Wanted
LAX, I think.
LAX, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The blindfold cage match.
No.
But
anyway, when Christian Cage won, though, and they had a big celebration, his wife there.
That was cool.
When he won the belt the first time, that was cool, yeah. Obviously, that three-way match.
The three-way, the debut of Sting, even, was great. Yeah. On New Year's.
Yeah.
Remember the New Year's countdown? Oh,
and Christian's debut also, yeah.
But the New Year's countdown, I remember specifically on Spike TV, you had to come back at midnight, and they would show that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, do you know what the number one? No, it wasn't one of those. I'm just trying to go. The number one moment on the TNA countdown was Dixie Carter going through a table from Bully Ray. That was their number one moment.
How about when Hulk Hogan debuted? That was a big moment.
You know what their number two moment was?
When Hulk Hogan debuted? That was a big
moment. Snitsky! Same reaction.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was...
And Hulk Hogan's been in their fucking company. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Dixie Carter going through a table. Aces and eights that whole summer. What's his fuck? Austin Aries cashes in.
Yeah.
And wins, you know?
No, it was a... the thing is that Dixie going through was a big moment. Felt like a big moment. Felt like the end of TNA. It was a big moment.
It was.
I can see it being the top 10, but number one, yeah, I don't think so.
Did you hear about their tickets for their taping though?
No.
The Manhattan Center, the most expensive possible place that they could run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's buying them, so they're now on sale for 50% off.
Hey Scott, don't listen to this part. Fuck you, TNA. Like, please just shut down. You morons. They're just so stupid.
Yeah,
it's awful. They're just so stupid. And just nobody cares. You've ruined it.
You've ruined it.
You have. Seriously, awful. They have ruined that company and to the point where I don't think you can rebuild the momentum. Because I think people have just went, you know what? I've given them a shot. And then I got pissed off and I left. And then I came back and gave them another shot. And I've done this so many times. It's old-fashioned. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Yeah.
And you know, or shame on... Well, I think I got that reversed.
No. Either way.
Either way.
Hey, do you want to read this latest thing word for word here? This one in here?
This one right here?
Yeah.
There were suggestions this week of putting a mask on Adrian Neville and making him a kid's character based on Mighty Mouse. Neville is expected to be the next NXT performer brought up to the main roster and they're batting around ideas for him.
Yeah.
That's not an idea.
Well, it is. It's not a good idea. But the Ascension are they're debuting next week on Monday.
Yeah.
That was just a throwaway line, and the announcers didn't pick up it at all. They're like, next week, blah, 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 blah.
It's like, sure they won't just debut it like New Day did on SmackDown instead?
Yeah, maybe they debuted on SmackDown.
No, it's possible.
It is. They actually debuted on Tribute to the Troops. No, they will apparently debut on Monday. I mean, card subject to change, so who knows?
Yeah.
But they have face paint. I don't know. I am... I'm just interested in another team.
I would love to see the tag team division rebuilt again.
Yeah. That's what I forgot to tell Scott when we were on the show. Tag team action hot and heavy here in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I wonder if he would have got that.
that's good. But this is just... Yes, I mean, the WWE is just horrible right now. It better be getting better as we go to WrestleMania.
It's been so bad for so long, but this is the time when they start to pay. We're just waiting for the year to end, And we're waiting for them to get past probably the first episode of the new year. And when is the Royal Rumble? What's the date?
I believe it's 25th of January.
Tomorrow is the 29th. So, I mean, what is it? The 6th? The 5th? So, the January...
I have no idea what you're talking
about. I'm trying to think of what shows will... Tomorrow's show will not be good. I'm predicting tomorrow's Raw will not be good.
The 29th will have Brock Lesnar.
The 29th?
Yeah, before. Tomorrow. Show. December 29th. Monday, December 29th show will have Brock Lesnar, Okay. Apparently. They didn't announce that at all, but apparently...
Yeah, I don't expect tomorrow to be good. I'm thinking the show, the two shows before Royal Rumble,
yeah,
is where it maybe starts to pick up.
See, then you got January 5th.
Losing right. Elimination Chamber, just and now having that long break. I don't know. Speed,
I like
fast
it.
Lane or whatever. But I got to see if the TV is focused.
Well, that's going to be the big thing. I mean, right? but that was always the problem with the Chamber. Is that there was no Mania focus until you couldn't focus on Mania until after the Chamber, and that was the downfall of the Chamber. That was a criticism of the Chamber, is that you had to wait to see who was the champion coming out of the Chamber before you could really start that Mania build. They did it a little bit with when it was No Way Out as well. With the, you know, they tried to blur the lines a little bit, but
yeah.
I think we're at a time now where we don't need to. You know, Vince, I watched that was actually on the network, part of the 12 Days of Attitude, one of the Raws that I watched, was from December, I think it was. It was the Raw where Vince McMahon came on and said, quite frankly, you're tired of having your intelligence insulted.
Yeah, he doesn't think that anymore.
No, exactly.
No, he really doesn't. That's the thing. He's actually thinking to yourself, you think... like I say, it's more like he's sitting there and he's angry at us, so he's going to punish us.
Well, and what I would like, though, is what I'd like to see is that long-term focus on... That's the only thing that's going to make WrestleMania stand out this year, is going to be that long-term Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar focus. I'm starting to think that fucking Seth is getting the belt here.
Before WrestleMania?
Like, they're jobbing him. Like, it just tells me that he's going to win the belt. That's the fear I have. That's the fear.
The question is, like I say, is how much... the thing that's the question for me isn't Daniel Bryan. He's not going to be back in time.
No.
Dean Ambrose is what he is. Bray Wyatt is what he is. They should turn him babyface. Reigns, I've said before where I think Reigns will be. Is at the Orton level. So to me, the question is the Ziggler momentum, how strong will it get, how quick will it get, and how much would they be willing to capitalize on it? Because it seems like they're paying attention to that.
It seems like they're paying attention. It's just a matter of what. I mean, what are the plans they've got for these guys? I mean, like what could you think is the plan that would be of any meaning for Dolph Ziggler? Like, you know, I mean...
I don't know. I mean,
all of the plans involve... I mean, all of the plans that have any meaning in WrestleMania matches involve old guys.
Yeah. Right?
Like, what's the Hogan match going to be? Yeah. Hogan and Cena against who? Hogan and Cena against Rollins and who?
Yeah.
Right? Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker. Hunter and Sting. Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Probably Rollins and Kane.
Yeah, I guess.
It probably will be.
I guess, yeah.
If they do that, I don't think Hogan will have a match, but...
But those are the guys, right? I mean, who's left? Right? Would you have... Do you have Nash team with Heath Slater? Like, I don't know what they do in terms of having... an elevation situation... with Dolph Ziggler left out in the cold, right? I mean, like, he's gone, he's run through, Cesaro, and they've given up on Cesaro, right? He's a baby face.
It's a matter of whether or not you elevate him.
But who is there to elevate him?
I mean...
Who is there that can elevate him? Nobody. There's nobody.
Yeah.
Like, him and Randy Orton, does that elevate him? You know, him in the Big Show, does that elevate him?
No, probably not. You know what I mean? No,
him
and
if he beats John Cena, I guess that elevates him. But, you know, but they
that's not going to happen.
But they're not going to do that, right? Exactly. So who is there? There's nobody.
I don't know.
They have no marketable.
The only person out there right now who's poised to elevate somebody is Lesnar.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be Lesnar. So you're right.
I mean, there's that outside shot of Lesnar, right?
It's an outside shot. Very outside.
He's their dark horse outside shot, right? I mean, it's Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah.
Is the guy. But it's just, you know, nobody gives a fuck. Ambrose is out in the cold, too. I mean, you know. So I don't see what else you could do with Ziggler. Like, he's at that time where he's hot, right? But yeah. It's a lot like Daniel Bryan, is that they had to drop everything to, or evolve everything, right, to make it work, right? And they're not going to do 2-3 ways in a row, right? They're not going to do another 3-way. So it's a situation with then what do you do, right? So I don't know. As much as we want things to, you know, get to that next level or to say, you know what, Mania is going to be that.
Basically,
time,
what we're saying is
don't hold
all
your
the
breath.
all the negative stuff that they've done over the last year, killing their titles, killing their characters, killing the wins and losses, the even Steven booking, the everything, the lack of momentum has made it to the point where how the hell do they crawl out of this, even if they have the guy?
It's not even that. I think it's more the combination of there's that plus, you know, now with the way that we've been talking about since we came on the air, whatever it was, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, it was every WrestleMania. It's something. You know, it's the old guys are what's Rock for 3 years.
Let's go back to Wrestle Kingdom 9, because this is the Wrestle Kingdom, the January 4th Tokyo Dome show started, I think, 92. They changed the name to Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Right.
But this is a lot more than 9 of this. I think this is the 22nd of these.
I was wondering about
that. Yeah. So it's been going on for more than 2 decades, this thing.
Right.
You look at this show, and what they built to is a main event of essentially their Flair versus Steamboat type deal, or Austin Rock, or whatever you want to call it, right? Like, they're great. And then the one below that is like them putting out the... Actually, it's more like this. The one below that is Sean and Brett, their semi-main.
Yeah.
You know? And then below that is another main card, and their tag titles, and that's a main event thing. And, like, all this stuff is built
you
up.
You could say...
So, yes, they have their older guys, and he was talking about that. He was talking about those legendary guys.
Yeah.
And they're in a 6-man bout at the bottom, and the crowd's going to love to see them, and they'll give them that nostalgia pop. And those guys are still performers with the company. But the point is, they're there, but they're not the focus. They're there because they're over with the crowd, and the crowd will want to see them, and they'll be part of the show.
Yeah.
But they don't have to build around it. Whereas the WWE, what they have to do is, it's like smoke and mirrors to put on this one great show a year. We're going to distract you from how shitty everything else is by bringing in the stars.
Yeah.
And distract you.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Sheamus will turn heel. Maybe he can fight Ziggler.
I think he's probably more than Ambrose, but
either one, yeah.
Or maybe Bray. Because Bray needs to turn.
Undertaker.
Well, yeah, that's right. They have Undertaker.
And you still got Luke Harper.
Yeah.
Right? What about Big Show? We didn't know. Well, you know, that's it. There you go. Seth Rollins and the Big Show.
Yeah, it could be.
Hogan's going to want the Big Show.
Probably, because that's his buddy.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, you know, I don't know.
And between then, you're going to give us 3 hours of Raw and SmackDown and Main Event. And most of these matches I'll have seen already.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, exactly. And you're going to have that, whatever that is, Fastlane show, right? I mean, you know what I would do on Fastlane, to be quite honest? If you're booking Fastlane, if I'm booking Fastlane, after the Royal Rumble, Fastlane is where you have the contract signing between Lesnar and Roman
because
Reigns.
It's on the network and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not about the buys.
Yeah.
It's about the story. Yeah, I mean, fine, do that. Make that your main event. And then actually make something like the IC belt your main event match. And
Ziggler.
Yeah.
Ziggler's your champion, right? Your
yeah,
IC
like
champion.
Do something. You got to elevate this stuff.
Yeah.
Again, I like that. I like that what Damore said, that line from Benoit is the champion makes the man, makes the belt, not the belt makes the champion.
Yeah.
And that's something WWE lost their way from a long fucking time ago.
Yes.
And obviously it's one of the things that hurts them.
It's funny, Hunter's stolen that line.
Has he?
Yeah, I've heard him say that before too. But the difference was is that Benoit believed it. So
it's probably true. We should wrap this up.
All right,
up.
I got another
place I gotta get to.
You do so. We're Wrestle Kingdom 9. Go on our Twitter at We Talk Wrestling. I've tweeted out the 30-minute Global Force Wrestling preview show, so you can go on there and watch it. It's worth checking out.
And like
out.
You say, there's other shorter vignettes that are out there too that they put together.
They do, yeah,
stuff.
Have a lot
but
of.
But this is
minutes.
The one that's like this is the one that's like the must watch.
It's the
it's
Barker
so
Channel
good.
Preview show, basically, right?
But it's so good.
It is.
It's a really good show. It's better than anything WWE has put on their main roster forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. not including NXT and the you know and the developmental.
Yeah.
So
it's fantastic, and we thank Scott Damore for joining us and talking.
Hey, and you know what? I would like to hear from the people, and yeah, we'll still get to some of your questions, and we have the Battle Farts question it's still sitting there. We'll get to it.
It's lingering.
Yeah. But I would like to know if you liked us talking to Scott and you'd like to hear us do some more interviews.
Yeah, that's true.
Because this went off actually pretty seamlessly.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, yeah. Since we've never done something like this, quite like this.
We press button good.
The way we did it before. We used different technology to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, now we could. If you guys want to hear us try and get some other people on the air, some actual interviews. With some current or former
Vince McMahon
stars within the industry. Yeah, Vince.
We've talked to his wife.
We've talked to his wife. But real interviews.
What?
If you guys would like to hear
that.
What
are you saying?
I'd like to have DDP interview DDP.
That's true.
I would love to hear some feedback on that. So get us at
We Talk Wrestling.
Yeah, we're on
@ADDIE @WeTalkWrestling.com is the email.
Yeah, you can leave a We Talk Wrestling on the net, and you can leave a comment in the show. Tell us,
yeah, WeTalkWrestling.com.
Or you tweet us like you say @WeTalkWrestling. Then you give the email.
Yeah,
there's Facebook.
Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. Yeah,
you guys can leave us a message there if you like it. And
that's also.
And of course, we're also on Stitcher and.
The TuneIn radio
TuneIn
app.
TuneIn and iTunes and stuff like that, so you can listen to us all sorts of ways. But yeah, I mean, if you like that, if you want us to do that, let us know if you want us to do that, and let us know how often you want us to do it. You want it all the time? Do you want it occasionally?
I want it all the
once
time.
Once or twice a year? Do you want it, like, what, or do you never want it again? Let us know, because, you know, I mean, why not? You're out there.
Know.
You're listening. We've
let
been doing this show
know.
For a year. There's so many of you listening. Fucking tell us something for once.
For once?
Yeah.
What?
Well, you're right. They actually tell us stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But this time, tell us stuff we want to know.
Oh. That's Addie, @ADDIE, @WeTalkWrestling.com. Or Facebook. I like @WeTalkWrestling. Because then you know what to do. It's 140, 150 characters. So people can't get real wordy. I have to read a lot. You know?
That's true.
So that's good.
It's a real push.
But yeah, that's going to do it yet for yet another week. So, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Did I tell Scott we were OUT?
No.